Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, September 16th, 2020. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're continuing with Bill's story on page 5. We're on the sixth paragraph of page 5. And the reading begins with renewing my resolve. One paragraph only today. Today's readers are Audrey M.P. for the 12 Steps, Rhonda R., 12 Traditions. Readers are Pam M., Lorraine N., Faye B., Leah S. will greet newcomers and get numbers from available sponsors after our recording ends. And then Leslie M. has some important announcements for you today. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Tuesday, September 15th is 15356. That's 15,356. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, September 16th is 15365. That's 15,365. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, our Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA. Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Audrey M.P. to please read the 12 steps. Star one to unmute, please, Audrey.
Good morning, Team Wednesday. I'm Audrey M.P. I'm in California, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Audrey M.P. And I'll now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to be of service today.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your share be directly linked to what we're reading. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 5 in Bill's story on paragraph 6. And that paragraph begins with renewing my resolve. And I'm going to ask Pam M. to please begin reading.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M., recovered in upstate New York. Renewing my resolve, I tried again. Some time passed, and confidence began to replace my cocksureness. I could laugh at the gin mills. Now I had what it takes. One day, I walked into a cafe to telephone. In no time, I was beating on the bar, asking myself how it happened. As the whiskey rose to my head, I told myself I would manage better next time. But I might as well get good and drunk then, and I did. Oh boy, can I relate to that? Why? Because I am a compulsive overeater. To grab food compulsively and put it in my mouth is so ingrained in my system that I literally dream about it. Even though I'm in OA almost 3 years and I've been entirely abstinent for more than 6 months. Last week, I dreamed about being alone with leftovers from a wedding cake and stuffed a piece in my mouth when nobody was watching. Can't tell you how many times I've done that, just waited for a moment when nobody was watching. And I woke up remorseful, and it wasn't even reality. But this is how my brain is wired. It's looking, it's seeking for food. It's seeking for those alcoholic fix that I get from binging. And if left to my own devices, all I need is to think I can get away with it. All I need is that mentality. I can get away with it because nobody's watching. Nobody sees me. And that is the exact attitude that got me to be well over 205 pounds was the last time that I allowed myself to weigh. And this is the exact attitude that I have when I go, when I think I can get away with it. I eat until I get myself sick, and then I find myself in and out of hospitals due to digestive issues, and nobody can figure out what's wrong with me. I'm an enigma, but I know what's wrong with me. So I cannot be accountable for my own actions because I have the mental obsession and the mental twist of the mind. And I want that food. I always want that food. That's why I have to turn my food over to a sponsor, a recovered sponsor, and to God every single day. Thank God for OA and for everyone on this line. Thank you for your help. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pam M. So, although we value your wonderful shares and experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have shared this week, we hope you'll stand by, share tomorrow, and give someone else a chance to share today. So if you'd like to comment on that paragraph, please press star 1 to unmute your phone and give us your name.
Patty D.
Patty D.
Connie W.
Connie W.
Laura R.
Laura R.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? You're more than welcome. Okie doke. We're going to start with Patty D and then have Connie W., Laura R., and Nancy L., and then we'll take some more people to comment on page 5, paragraph 6, renewing my resolve. Please go ahead, Patty D., and let us know where you're from, please.
Hi, this is Patty D., compulsive overeater from Matthews, North Carolina. I haven't actually shared in quite a while, and I haven't listened to the meetings in quite a while because I have been face down in the food for the past 6 or 7 weeks, and today is day one again. I just continue to identify with Bill's story because I think it's amazing how I lie to myself over and over again, where he says, you know, I can laugh at the gym though. You know, it's like, hey, I'm okay. I'm fine. I got down to my goal weight. I was doing fine. You know, I kept having these mini relapses. I called them mini relapses. But I was okay. And then I decided one night to have some ice cream with my husband. Like, it's been a year. I can do this. No, I couldn't, because that led to something else, and then something else, and then something else. I mean, everything that Pam just shared, I have experienced as well. And boy, it's hard to be humble in this disease as you watch yourself fall again to your knees. In the past 6 weeks, I've gained 20 pounds. From binging and sneaking food, when my husband would go to bed at night because he has to get up early for his job, that's when I would just go to town. And so, you know, as Bill is pounding his fist on the bar saying, how did this happen again? I'm pounding my fist saying, what am I doing to my body again? And so I'm going to get yet another sponsor. And yet again, surrender to God. And I'm so thankful you guys are still here. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty D. You are in the right place. Okay. Connie W., you are up next, followed by Laura R., and let us know where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Connie W. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for being there, moderator. I'm Connie W. from Virginia. I am so, so grateful to be able to be in the Big Book and to be a I'm a sponsor also. So grateful. Renew. How many times did I renew, or I'll start at noon? No. I'll start on Monday. I'll start Tuesday. And nothing happened. Nothing. But today, I start one day at a time. When I open my eyes in the morning, I ask my higher power for help. I ask him, what is his will for me? What can I do to help another fellow? And you know what? This program of vision, this Big Book, when I came in, we had the Big Book. I heard earlier we had the Big Book. They sold it, but we didn't study it the way we study it. When I started reading the Big Book and going to meetings, I was like, I don't understand this. What is he talking about? You know, why are we reading this? I understand. And I just want to say that anybody that's out there that's struggling, anybody out there that thinks that, yet again, here I go, please stay. Stay for the miracle, because it will happen. 20, 30, 40, I don't care. I've got to stay in here until death do me part. With that, I'll pass, and thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Connie W. from Virginia. Laura R., you're up next, followed by Nancy L. Please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Laura R., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado, and love Bill's story and love this paragraph. I was actually writing on it this morning and just kind of remembering back at what it was like when, you know, as the whiskey rose to my head again, I told myself I'd manage better next time, or I'd try again, or I'd not try again, you know, like the previous person was talking about on Monday. You know, I'll do it on Monday. I'll do it on New Year's Eve. You know, it's just over and over and over again. But, you know, back then, there was a time when I remember I was taking clients out to dinners all the time, and I was so resentful at my job. I actually did inventory at the time, and I wasn't in OA, and I didn't know I had a problem with food. I was so upset that I couldn't stop eating the bread and the desserts. And I remember telling myself, Laura, like, you can't, this isn't a treat anymore. You travel 3 weeks out of the month. This is normal. This is your life. You can't eat this all the time. But I couldn't stop. And it's so crazy because it's years before I ever realized I had a problem with food. I was even writing about it, like, oh, I'm pissed at my job because they give me a corporate credit card. I didn't realize I had a disease. And I am just thinking today how grateful, even when I couldn't get abstinent and I was 3 years in this program, it took me 3 years to finally get the 7 months that I have today. And, you know, at least I realized I bought into what you guys told, like, would say that it does get better, that, you know, just put down the food. And like someone was talking about just earlier, it's like, but I had to get honest with what that was. And man, you know, honesty. And it was so hard to get honest with myself, you know, and with what I really had to put down. Because, oh, easier, softer way. I don't really want to put that down. And I suffered in this program for 3 years, you know, with just like keeping a couple things on. And I was kind of thinking about it today. If there's anything that you don't want to get rid of, it's got to go. Because that's what I held on to. Like, don't you dare take that cup of coffee from my flipping hand. I've given you everything else. You know, don't you do it. And it kept me crazy. It kept me insane for 3 years. And so thank you, God, for removing the obsession. And now I feel neutral, you know. And yes, there is sometimes, and I heard it on the line the other day, and I was so grateful for it, that the thought comes up, you know, where it's like, oh, man, I would love a cup of coffee. But I pick up the phone and I call in another fellow. I pray to God and I say, get that out of my head, please. You know, get me back into solution. Get me back into being of service to someone else. Get me back into the steps. Because I swear to God, I never want to go back to that hell that I was living in, which is between my ears. Thank you all. Thank you, moderator, for just your service today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Laura R. We have Nancy L. next, and after Nancy L., we'll take another lineup of people who would like to comment on page 5, Bill's story, paragraph 6, bottom of the page, which begins with renewing my resolve. So, Nancy L., please press star 1 to unmute your phone and let us know where you're calling from. Nancy L., star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning. Can I be heard now?
Yeah, thank you.
I just want to say thank you for your being there this morning and for the service you're giving us. This paragraph is just so much me. I have known for 30 years when I used to go to AA meetings for a loved one, and I would sit and listen to the alcoholics tell their story of their journey and sit there and think, I do the same thing with food. I do the same thing with food that they're doing with alcohol. And I knew that, but I didn't know at the time what to do about it. I was going to focus on getting my loved one over their alcoholism. And then in 2014, I found OA. And I had heard enough about the 12 steps to know that they would work. So that was not totally new. So I took a chip, and when I had 30 days and I was eating healthy and losing weight, I took a 30-day chip, 30 more days, I'm eating well, I'm losing weight. I took a 60-day chip. 30 days pass, I'm still doing well and I'm losing weight, and I took my 90-day chip. And you talk about cockiness. When Bill talks about the cockiness that he felt, I felt so much cockiness. I got this. I've got this made. I don't know what's so difficult about it. And I had one big spree. Started eating something and didn't stop. After those days of eating and binging, such remorse. I went right through the cycle that's described in this big book. The spree, the remorse, and then the resolve that I'll do better. I repeated that cycle over and over. But the only thing I have to say is I kept going to my OA meetings because I heard those promises and I thought, those promises can work for me. So in spite of all the relapses that I've had, today I have 9 months of clean eating and I'm at my goal weight, but I know the disease is still in my body. I am recovering, but that allergy of the body and obsession of the mind is still in me. And I know it, and I have to turn that over to my God every morning. I thank you for your service this morning. I thank you for everybody that has shared your experience, strength, and hope this morning, because it gives me so much hope. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy L. Okay, although we value your experience very much, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have shared in the last couple of days, please pause. And if you'd like to comment on page 5, paragraph 6, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know.
Colleen,
CVB. I heard Colleen and somebody B.
Phoebe B.
Phoebe B.
And Danielle W.
All right, Danielle W.
Reva G.
Reva G.
Reva, yes.
Anybody else?
Danielle
Mary G.
Danielle. Oh, I think I got you Danielle J, unless there was a Danielle W too. I think I might have mixed up. Was there somebody with a W? No. Okay, Danielle J, I guess it was.
No, there's a Danielle. It was Danielle W.
Oh, good. We got two Danielles in this lineup. Danielle W and
right.
Danielle J. That's cool. Okay. And all right. So far we've got Colleen N, CBB, Danielle W, Reva G, Danielle J. Anybody else want to jump in? We got room for a little more.
Mary G.
Mary G. Okay. Let's stop here and let's see where that gets us, okay? And it is helpful if you can let me know the first where you're calling from. Okay. Let's start with Colleen, and I believe it was, and then you'll be followed by Phoebe B. And do let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you, Team Wednesday. This is Colleen S. from North Dakota. I'm reading this page 6 on in the AA book, Bill Story, and that's me. I can get so cocksure, for sure, and I do so well, and doggone it, it hits me that well, you know, if I can do it, anybody can do it, and that's not where we're supposed to be with our thinking. And then sure enough, I go down the hole again, and so this paragraph definitely talks to me. I want to say that I've enjoyed the shares. Thank you so much. Bless you all. That's all. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Colleen S. Appreciate your share. Okay, CBB, you're up next, followed by Danielle W. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, this is Phoebe B., recovered food addict in Vermont. This paragraph is such an incredibly good reminder to me about how self-reliance doesn't work. You know, if you go over to page 6, you know, at the bottom of page 5, talks about renewing my resolve, I tried again. And if you go over to page 6 and you count the I's, there are at least 9 I's in that paragraph. And I always thought I could figure this out. And someone once told me that figure it out-ism is another form of addiction. And I did that for decades. Oh, I got this. Okay, I'll have one more binge. I'll have one more big binge. And then I got this. I'll figure it out. I'll do this program. I'll do that program. I'll spend this money. I'll spend that money. For decades, I spent thousands of dollars on, you know, you name it, probably the things that all of you have done, you know, exercise equipment, gym memberships, self-help books, paying programs, all of those things. And the only thing that has ever worked for me, number one, to admit my powerlessness, and to surrender and ask for help. Talk about my feelings. You know, we hear on this line, Harlan often says, food is not the problem, it's the buildup of human emotion. And that was a huge one for me, was learning to talk about my feelings. And I couldn't do that alone. I needed help doing that. And what I've learned over many years now, and I'm coming up on my 4th anniversary, actually, is that I need help. I need to lean into my higher power. I need to lean into my fellows. I need to lean into the literature. I need to lean into the meetings. I need to lean into all of the tools that we talk about, because those are the handrails for me to work the steps. So this paragraph is such a great reminder, and I'm so happy to be here today. I'm recently retired, and I'm hoping I can attend this meeting more often. But thank you, and thank you also for the people who shared their honesty and their vulnerability about being in the food or just being out of the food or having a relapse, whatever it might be. There's hope in this book. This is our textbook, and there is hope in these pages. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much, CBB in Vermont. Okay, Danielle W., you're up next, followed by Reva G., and do let us know where you're calling from, please.
Sure. Good morning. It's Danielle W. from California. I'm so, so grateful to be here. relatively new to A Vision for You. And this paragraph, I lived in this paragraph for 50 years. You know, I had what it took. I'd figured it out. I just needed to get the right calorie count. I needed the right exercise that I could enjoy and sustain. And, you know, I mean, just the amount of energy and thought to figure it out. I had to figure it out. And in no time, I was beating at the bar, on the bar, asking myself how it had happened. I could not understand it. But I knew I could do better next time, because in every other area of my life, I was able to find the self-discipline. And I mean, it was absolute insanity. I would make it until noon or one in the afternoon, and I'd be doing great. And then I'd put something in my mouth, and I was off to the races. And, you know, and sometimes I'd try to start again during the day, but that never worked. And then I would just say, you know, tomorrow I'm going to do it. And it was, you know, and oddly, I was in another 12-step program, and I didn't even see my own, you know, my own addiction to food. I didn't get it. It was at a roundup that I was listening to a speaker, and he started to talk about relationship with food. And once we start, we can't stop. And once we stop, we can't stay and stop. And it was the second part of that puzzle that was an aha for me, because I would stop for a year, or I'd get to my weight and I would say, I've got it. I mean, I did it. And then it would just fall apart. And now, you know, I just know this is absolutely beyond it's beyond me. I am absolutely powerless in the face of food. And if I put one morsel in my mouth, I'm going to be on a bender. So it's so beautiful to be able to listen to Bill's story, to be able to identify with the experience, to be able to see ourselves in it, and to know there's a solution. And now today I have this program, and I have my food plan, and I have my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Danielle W. in California. Reva G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Danielle J.
This is Reva G. in Brooklyn, New York. I am abstinent now for more than 22 years, having been in constant relapse for 20 years before that. So it was like a 180. Those 20 years were not wasted, but it took me a long time to get to something that the big book gives me in one word. I am powerless. Powerless. I got to the point that I would not even try going on another food plan because I knew I would relapse. And I think that was a step forward. But now that I am in abstinence, I have it figured out. I am powerless. Could have understood that if I read the book to begin with. I got to the point where I hit a bottom, and I got, after all those years, the realization that I was powerless, and I really couldn't stand that. And I started to pray like I had not prayed before. And my prayer goes, even now, today, before I could bring myself to go on another food plan, at the top of the page, I wrote, "Dear God, I can't, please help me." I knew that I could write it down, turn it over, and that I would ultimately relapse again. I knew it. And so the only the only thing I had under me was God. And I turned to God. And every meal is, God, please give me the power to eat what I'm supposed to eat that's on my food plan. And I trace this on my on the back of my hand with my finger. PDG, please, dear God. And then I eat. And then after I eat, it's PYG, thank you, God, because I ate only what was on my food plan. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. When I started to share after I had become abstinent after 1 year, I qualified at my home meeting. I really didn't want anybody to clap for me. I knew that I had not done it, and I never will do it. For me, a cup and a scale is the same thing that one of those canes is for a blind person. For me, the cup and the scale is like a walker for a person who can't stand on their own feet. I got it. I really got it. I used to come home from school, and I was a teacher, so I used to put on Oprah. And there was the queen who was cheering people on because they lost 5 pounds. And that's what I had been doing. But the thing is, as a compulsive, as
just
an alcoholic,
a reminder.
Okay. The alcoholics don't have the whole world doing exactly what they're doing. The whole world is dieting with us. The whole world is applauding when they take off that 5 pounds. I had to get to the point where I couldn't applaud myself anymore because I passed up a bag of pecan sandies or something. That's not normal. And so I thank you for letting me share. I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Reva G. Danielle J., you're up next, and then Mary G. will follow you.
Hi, Danielle J. from Bellevue, Washington. Thank you so much for your service and for allowing me to share. You know, I wish that there had been, you know, redoubling my efforts or renewing my resolve, but honestly, my alcoholic life became the only normal one, and it just almost didn't even occur to me because the food and for me also the prescription medication were the solution. It's like, well, of course, you know, but of course. So, but I do remember as a kid that happening in junior high. It was, you know, it was going to be Monday. Monday was a magical day, you know. And it was going to be Monday, and then I wouldn't eat for a couple days, or, okay, it's going to be Monday, and I won't eat for 2 days. And the first time I ever remember feeling shame, let's see, about my weight, I think I must have been 10-ish, something like that, and my aunt was in Weight Watchers, and so, you know, she was all... So everybody weighed themselves because she was very enthusiastic about it. And so she, you know, had us go upstairs and weigh ourselves. And I think it was like 72 pounds or something. And I felt very ashamed about that. So, so I remember this sort of thing as a kid, but as I became an adult, it just was like, well, yeah, you know? And it took a lot. It took a lot for me to realize that there was something wrong with the way what I was doing, because the denial was just so great. If I began to gain weight, I would just change the way I dressed, or I would just, you know, not look at mirrors anymore. I mean, these were, you know, it was just, I don't know. It's almost like if there's a hole in the road, I go around it. You know, I mean, these are the kinds of things that were just normal for me. So anyway, I'm here now and life is different. And when I go back and I see that, you know, it was just a progression. And now I have a different way to for the, you know, there is a different solution. And this one is actually a solution. So, and I couldn't do it without God and without all of you. You know, when I get a coin in a meeting for, you know, abstinence, I pray to the group, because really it's the group that did it. It really wasn't me. So thank you so much for allowing me to share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Danielle J. Mary G., you're up next, and we'll have time for maybe two more shares after Mary G. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Mary G. from Chicago, Illinois. And, wow, I really needed to hear this today. So I was, not long before I put the meeting on, I was walking up my basement stairs. I had just gotten dressed for the day. I put on a pair of jean shorts, and I was feeling pretty good. These jean shorts are, they're feeling pretty loose. And, you know, that cocksuredness was starting to come in. And I put this meeting on, and this is what we're reading. And I swear that's exactly how I felt just about 10 minutes before I dialed into the meeting. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, some people say, is it odd or is it God? You know, I don't know, that this is exactly what we're reading today. I'm so grateful that I have a program, and I'm so grateful that I started listening to A Vision for You in the beginning of May, and I got a sponsor, and I have entire abstinence, and I've worked the steps, and I have a place to come to every morning to remind me, because, man, I have a tendency to forget how cunning, baffling, and powerful this disease is. You know, it's such a simple thing as walking up the stairs and that kind of crazy thought comes into my head. So, yeah, I just wanted to share on that, and I just have so much gratitude. And I will pass.
Thank you very much, Mary G. in Illinois. And we have room for a couple more shares if you haven't shared in the past couple of days. I want to unmute and let me know. We're on page 5, paragraph 6, beginning with renewing my resolve. Star 1 to unmute if you'd like to share.
Shelley B.
Shelley B.
Bruce E.
And Bruce C. Okay, thank you so much. Shelley B., please go ahead, and then Bruce C.
Okay, good morning. I'm Shelley B. I'm from Palmdale, California. As far as being cocky, I thought I had it all together when I joined Weight Watchers, because I maintained for about 3 years. I lost 40 pounds and was maintaining and figured, well, this is it. And I believe that I would pick and choose what I wanted to give to God, because I am a spiritual person. And I thought, well, hey, I got God, I've got Weight Watchers, I'm doing great. But then things happen, life happens, and it unravels like a sweater, knitting a sweater. It just comes apart, the food. For me, it was just, I'm just going to clean out the fridge of all the bad stuff, and then I'm going to do something about it. That plan did not work, because groceries come every week, and I was making the wrong choices and gaining food and gaining weight and gaining bigger clothes, and almost accepting that. That I was going to get good and drunk over and over again, that was my life, until my therapist pointed me to OA, and now I understand that I have to completely surrender everything to God, my food, this disease, and I'm just very grateful for this community, and for my sponsor, and for all the help from all the people on the line and that have suffered from this disease. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Shelley D. Brucey, you're up next. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's me. Bruce E. I'm down in Florida, and I'm recovered. Thanks, everybody, on the meeting. Thanks for the meeting, those that are serving. Renewing my resolve, I tried again. Some time passed, and confidence began to replace by cocksuredness. I could laugh at the gin mills. So, yeah, well, I did all the stuff with, you know, the Monday morning thing. You know, I'll start Monday morning, binge all weekend. I'll start Monday morning. And then eventually it got to the point where the fight was, there was no more fight. I couldn't do it. Monday had come, and then I'd think about Tuesday. Tuesday had come, and I'd say, ah, forget it. I blew Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll just eat all week and through the weekend, and then I'll start Monday. And then Monday didn't work for me anymore. But I did have a couple of times when stuff did seem to work, diets or, you know, stuff seemed to work. And just like this, he's talking about here, the confidence began to be replaced by cocksuredness. So I remember one time for sure, maybe once, where my pants actually got loose on me. I was so mad at myself for having tight pants, and, you know, I wasn't going to go out and buy new ones. So I just wore them really, really tight, and I finally got down to where they were loose, and I felt so good, and cocksuredness was there. Confidence be replaced by cocksuredness. I was cocky. You know, I had it made. My ego, which is, I think, all part of the disease too, is the ego and the cocksuredness and all that. That's all part of this whole, that ties into the whole disease. And I thought I was doing real well, but, you know, that only lasted, I don't know, those loose pants, I probably made it for a week or two, maybe. At the most, not long. I was back in the food and gaining all that weight back again. And then just absolutely feeling devastated as a whiskey rose to my head. So the sugar hit all his brain cells. The sugar hits my brain cells. I told myself I could manage better next time. The sugar hits my brain cells. Man, I can still do it. You know, I can, you know, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. I'm all right. I can do it, you know. And it's the sugar talking, you know. It's the disease talking to me. And I listened to that disease a long time. Whiskey rose to my head and had the whiskey, you know. I told myself I could manage better next time, but I might, well, yeah, I can manage better next time, but I might as well go ahead and eat now. You know, I might as well do it, you know. And I repeated that cycle continuously for over 20 years. I know for sure it went on for about 8 years of real bottom, hitting real bottoms. So, thank you. And then 20-some years of that kind of stuff, and finally got into this program. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Brucey. We got time for a two-minute share. Anybody want to take that? Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Manya from Louisiana, compulsive overeater.
Please go ahead, Manya. Thank you.
I relate so much to this as well. I am new to the program, and I'm still struggling with staying abstinent. I mean, I am abstinent for 63 days, but I just feel like, what am I doing wrong? Because I don't have all the happy, joyous, free everybody else can talk about, and, you know, and I don't want it to take 20 or 30 years for me to before I find out what the real solution is, which I know is spiritual, and I keep thinking I'm turning everything over to God, and maybe I'm not. So I'm just a little baffled at that, and I just have to be honest with everybody and say where I am today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Manya E., and thank you, everybody, that has shared today, and encourage you to reach out to this amazing community. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lorraine M. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. Lorraine N.
recovered compulsive overeater. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you, and I'll pass.